There's a definition of love that I love, and that is that love is a selfless concern for the welfare of others. Isn't that a good definition? Love is a selfless concern for the welfare of others. And the ultimate in love, as it tells us in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. By His very nature, He is love. And did He not show us a selfless concern for our welfare, for the welfare of others? Was He not selfless when He gave Himself to be sacrificed as a once and for all sacrifice for sin? Yes, the lambs had been sacrificed and the bulls and the goats, and without the shedding of blood there's no forgiveness for sin. But they were all just God's foreshadowing. They were all just God's pictures of what He ultimately had in mind, this once and for all sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. God can't sweep your sins under the rug and say, "Oh, you're all right, come on in." No, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And so, in a selfless act, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, gave Himself as the ultimate sacrifice. There's got to be some bloodshed for your sins. And Jesus said, "I'll do it. I'm doing it. I want to have mercy on you. I'll die in your place. I'll be your substitute." And Jesus went to that cross, and He died for your sins. Selfless concern for the welfare of others. Why did He do it? Because He's concerned about you. He loves you. He wants you to be with Him forever. And He knows in His justice your sin would separate you from Him forever. You would be eternally separated. You would experience the second death in hell. And so He gave all. He gave everything so He could have you. Selfless concern for the welfare of others. God cares for you. God loves you. And He gives us so many wonderful pictures of His love and His care for us. One of those is right behind me. I love our stained glass here in Highland Avenue Baptist Church. One of these beautiful pictures of God's care is depicted right behind me in the baptistry in the stained glass. We see Jesus as revealed as our good shepherd. God says, "That's a picture of my care for you. That's a picture of my love for you. I am the good shepherd," Jesus said. "I lay my life down for the sheep." God gave us that picture of His care. A good shepherd, and you're like the sheep. Turn with me to Psalm 23. What a fantastic... All words, no words can be expressed to let us know how wonderful this psalm has been and how much it has meant to so many people throughout the years, and perhaps what it means to you. This may be a psalm that you memorized when you were a little girl or a little boy, and it may have been a psalm that you remember from a loved one, a loved one's funeral, and very common. Let's go here together. If you're new at this, there's a Bible beside you in the chair, and you just open it up. Open about halfway through your Bible in the middle, and then back up a little bit from there, and you'll start to see the Psalms. But let's look at Psalm 23. And let's see how much God cares for us, like a shepherd cares for his sheep. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I can't thank you enough for Psalm 23. I cannot thank you enough. Lord, you have spoken this truth and this psalm and this meaning and your words of life into my spirit through this psalm years ago. I remember, and Lord, you continue to speak to me through this psalm, and I know you do to all of us, and that is what we pray for. We pray that we would hear your voice right now, that you would speak to each one of us this morning, and that we would hear your voice. Please soften our hearts, make us receptive, make us anticipating what you're going to say, make us listening. And Lord, whatever you tell us, may we leave here and do it and put it into practice. Not leave just hearing, but leave doing. Help us. Get me out of the way, Lord. We need to hear your word. We need to hear from you, Jesus. And we pray it in your name. Amen. You are cared for. We are about to see that. You are cared for. And just like we mentioned at the very beginning of the service, we love because He first loved us. Because of His great love for us, now He's given us the greatest commands. He's loved us infinitely, and He proved it on that cross. And now He's given us His greatest commands. Now, I've loved you like this. Hey, you love me with all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, in the same way, you are cared for by your good shepherd. Well, in the same way, you care. You've been cared for. Now, you care. Let's look at this. Psalm 23. Hear the Lord's voice through this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy. Some translations, mine says love, mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in this psalm, God is telling you, hey, I'm like a good shepherd. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep hear my voice. And so if you're a believer this morning, if you're one of His sheep, if you're a Christian, if you've heard His message and you've responded, you repented of your sins, you put your faith in Jesus, and you're trusting Him to save you from your sins, get you to heaven. Well, He's come to live on the inside of you. You are His sheep. You have become His. He is your good shepherd. And you are like a sheep. Now, that's not a compliment. If you know anything about sheep, that's not saying too much. Sheep are extremely dumb animals that cannot make it on their own, apart from the shepherd. They cannot provide for themselves. They cannot live and sustain themselves and make it and survive. The predators will wipe them out. Bears, wolves, they need protection. They'll eat in the same grass spot until it's just dirt. They need somebody to lead them to some good grassy areas. Very dumb animals. They don't see good. That's you. That's me. That's what God's saying. I'll take it. I know I'm like that. I don't know if you admit it. I hope you admit it. But that's me. I couldn't make it on my own. You can't either. You are like a sheep, God says, and you need a shepherd. Remember what Jesus said when he He looked at the lost ones. He saw this crowd and he looked over them and he had compassion on them. And he said, they are harassed and helpless. They're like sheep without a shepherd. We need a shepherd. We can't make it on our own. You're like a sheep. And we see in that first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Not in want. I shall not be in want. Look at your worship bulletin. I don't know if Joan planned this, but that's perfect. You didn't plan it. They're all just different. But yeah, look at that. What does that say? I don't have one in front of me, but I noticed it. Was it godliness with contentment is great gain? Is that what it says, somebody? Okay. There's God's promise right there. Godliness with contentment is great gain. To be content is to be not in want. To be discontent, you're wanting something. You're not satisfied. You're not content. You need something. You want something. You want that next thing. But you see, we're told here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I might get myself into want, but I don't have any reason to be in want, is God's truth. There's no reason for me to want for anything because I have a good shepherd. You see, there's no reason to be in want because the shepherd is far superior to the sheep. Whatever I think I want as a sheep, whatever you think you want, you may think you know what you need. You may be sitting there thinking right now, well, I don't just think it. I know what I need. You may be thinking that, well, you think you know what you need. You think you know what is best for you, but you're a sheep. I don't want to cut you down or anything, but we just said what sheep are. You think you know what you need. You think you know what's best for you, but there you're a sheep when it boils down to it. And there is somebody that is far superior to you that knows everything that you need. And that's the good shepherd. He knows what is best for you, your shepherd, though you do not know. He is far superior to the sheep. And the care that the shepherd has for his sheep is far superior than the care a sheep could give for itself. You ever try to care for yourself? You ever try to figure out, well, what would be best for me? I'll see, maybe if I make this decision now. If you're not careful, you could live trying to do what's best for you. Well, I'm just doing the best I can trying to live my life. And my goodness, turn away from that. You want the counsel of a sheep? Turn to the good shepherd. Turn to a far more superior counselor. Your wonderful counselor. As it says in Isaiah. He'll take far greater, better care of you than you could ever take for yourself. Let me ask you this. Would you rather, if you had a tremendous medical need and you just came down with a severe illness, would you go and seek care at a third world hospital or would you rather go to UAB? I'd rather go to UAB. Well, in life, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, you're going to try to figure it out yourself, Mrs. Sheep, Mr. Sheep? You're going to go to a good shepherd. That's like going to UAB. Well, that's even better than UAB. And you see, when we know that, and we believe that, then I shall not be in want. You shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no reason to be in want. He loves me. He's taking care of me. And He knows far better what I need than I do. I just need to trust Him. Just follow Him. I'll be in good shape. I got a good shepherd. See, anything I want, if it's not what He wants for me, forget it. Throw it out. That's why I shall not be in want. Forget my wants. Lord, give me what You want. And yet, so much of the time, we're like the person, somebody has said that it was springtime, and they said, you know what, I just can't wait for summer. I just love all the water play and the sunshine. And then summer came, and they said, oh my goodness, I can't wait for fall. It's so hot and terrible in this summer. I need those beautiful leaves and that cool air. And then fall comes, and they say, my goodness, I sure wish it was winter, all that beautiful snow and the cooler temperatures and Christmas time. And then in the winter time, when they're receiving all that, they say, my goodness, I sure wish it was spring. I can't stand the winter. We can be like that. And we've got a good shepherd. We can obey the front of our worship bulletin there. So we look to our good shepherd. And so, no, you are cared for. You see, one way that you're cared for is you are guided by this good shepherd. You are guided. You see that in those first three verses. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You see, sometimes He's got to make us lie down in those green pastures. Sometimes we're so busy going, and sometimes we're not even looking to the shepherd. We're just being our own sheep, and we're trying to manage our lives as a dumb sheep that's can't even make it on its own. It's just going to die on its own and needs a shepherd. And sometimes we're just like that sheep going and not looking to the shepherd. And then sometimes we find ourselves lying down. Maybe we tried too long as a sheep and we weren't looking to the shepherd. And then we find ourselves where He has to make us lie down. And maybe we're on a sick bed or something, or we finally come to the end of ourselves at some point. And maybe we just say, oh, I see it now, Lord. I just need You. It's not at all me. It's not about me. It's all about You. I just need You. You're all I need. You're my all in all, as the song was just played. I need nothing but You, Jesus. You're all I really need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures, that's wonderful. That's the best places to eat. You see, He guides you to the best places. He knows what's best for you. His way is the best way. And He is the way. Jesus is your good shepherd. You don't have to focus so much on the way. Where do I need to go? What do I need to do? You just need to stay focused on your shepherd. He is the way. He said, I am the way. Follow me. And as we stay focused on Him, we'll be in the right way. He guides us. He makes us lie down in the green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. Sheep won't drink from a running water. They're scared of that. Well, He leads us to the quiet waters. He restores our souls. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Guides you in paths of righteousness. Now, those are narrow paths. Jesus said, broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. But that narrow way, that's just following Jesus. That's just following Him. That's His path that He has for you. That's the paths of righteousness. Just follow Him. Just stay close at His heels. You see, you are guided. Another way you're cared for is you are protected. We see that in verses 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And in 5a, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You are protected. Notice, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with me. He's with me no matter what. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And so I might go over here. What if I get off course? What if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? What if I get off course? What if I go a different way? You see, God tells us in Psalm 139, where can I go from His Spirit? You can't escape Him. Even if I go to the far end of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me, says in Psalm 139. A young man I had talked to not too long ago just shared with me an incredible truth that God gave him. He was saying that there was a time in his life he just felt like abandoned, just like everybody had left him. And a truth that God recently gave him was in Hebrews, never will I leave you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. He'll never leave you. He's with you. He is your protection. There was a kindergartner in class, and they were all sharing what they wanted to be when they grew up, and they would stand up in the front of the class and they would share what they wanted to do when they grew up. And this kindergartner stood up there and he said, well, I'm going to be a lion tamer, and I'm going to go right up to their cage, and I'm going to let them out, and they're going to come right at me, and I'm going to say, get down. And they'll be growling and they'll be roaring right at me, but I will make them sit down. And then he started thinking for a minute, and he said, as long as my mommy's with me, she'll be with me. But when I do this, but He is with you. Doesn't matter what you go through. Doesn't matter when that time comes, you go through that valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't matter what you go through, He's your good shepherd. You're a sheep. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You are protected. Psalm 41:10. God says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. That means to anxiously look about you. Oh, what's next? What's going to happen to me? What? That's dismayed. So do not fear, God says. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. No, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And he talks about, surely I will help you and strengthen you, uphold you with my righteous right hand. He is with you. He'll never leave you. And then in 5a, we see more protection. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, when we talk about enemies, that's somebody usually you want to hide from. Your enemies. But he says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. When you're with your enemies, I'll make a table for you, and you just sit down. You just be relaxed, and I'll set this table before you in the presence of your enemies. Would you, this could be like a, maybe you sitting down at a table with some of the leaders of Al-Qaeda, and they know you're a Christian. God says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You just sit down. I got it. You're protected. And you are provided for. As a shepherd cares for his sheep, you are provided for. You're guided, you're protected, and you're provided for. We see that in the second part of verse 5 and then in verse 6. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're provided for as a sheep. You anoint my head with oil. You see, that's what's done for an honored guest. The honored guest gets their head anointed with oil. It's like being the honored guest. This past Tuesday, we had our Young at Heart fellowship lunch, the covered dish lunch. And you know what happened right after we prayed? Everybody said, Mary, Frank, and Sam, get up here. They were the, I hope y'all don't mind me singling you out. But you're the honored guest. They had never been to Young at Heart before. And so, new members, they were ushered to the front. You go to the front of the line. You see, that's to be an honored guest. That's how the Lord is with you as your shepherd. You are the honored guest. He anoints your head with oil. Now, they didn't get up there. We didn't pour oil on their heads or anything. We just invited them to have first dibs on all the food. But my cup overflows. That's what it is to be provided for. My cup overflows. You ever get a good waiter or a good waitress? And that cup never gets below halfway. My cup overflows. It's abundance. You see, our God is a God of abundance. I love 2 Corinthians 9:8, where God tells us this. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. And that's abundance. That's the word that's used when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish. That was abundance. And then they had 12 basketfuls left over. Everybody ate. Everybody was satisfied. You see how God is a God of abundance? God feeds everybody and then there's 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Well, here it is, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Our God is a God of abundance. He provides for you, and He provides abundantly. More than enough is our God. His goodness and His love, His goodness and His love or His mercy will follow me. They'll pursue me. They'll come after me all the days of my life. Wow, you are cared for. And because you are cared for, we need to do what it mentions in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You may remember there God says, if you've been comforted by His love, comfort. Comfort. And God mentions a few things there, and He says, if you've experienced this from the Lord, you do it in this way. So you extend it. You extend it. You have been cared for by this great shepherd. You've been guided and protected and provided for. Now you guide others. You protect them. You provide for them. You see, you're a disciple. You're a follower of His. And what does a disciple do? A disciple does what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Jesus lived and He made disciples. And then He multiplied. And then those disciples are called to make disciples. And then the disciples that you're making and the disciples that you make, that they should be making disciples. You see, you've been cared for. Now you care. You care. Some of us get stuck getting cared for. Some of us get stuck enjoying the wonderful shepherd and all of His people. And we stay there. But you see, you've been cared for. You care. And now you guide. You see, as His follower, you're doing Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. So whatever Jesus has taught you, whatever He's teaching you, you need to teach others to obey that. You need to teach others to do that. You're making disciples. That's His call on you, and we're doing it together. That's His call on our lives as believers. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's entrusted that to us. And here's what it is. Here's what we're doing. This is 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. You see, whatever He's teaching you, we need to teach others to obey what He's just taught us. You've been cared for. You care. You guide. You see, this is what it was all about. This is what, when Jesus restored Peter, this is what it was all about. You remember what He said when He restored him? Peter had denied Him three times and Jesus restored him. And what was Jesus saying? Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you're Jesus' disciple, that's the call to you. You've been cared for. Hey, now you guide my sheep. You feed my sheep. You provide for my sheep. You care for my sheep. And so, you and I, we need to be guiding others. We need to be guiding them into that relationship with Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And then once they know Him, we need to be guiding them to grow in Him, to know Him better. Guiding them to service, to help them to be stewards. Like Andy was sharing with us last week of all that He's entrusted them with and us with. And so guide them to Jesus. Guide them to grow as His disciples. Disciple them. And then we need to protect others. Remember, the sheep protects, the shepherd protects the sheep from the bears and wolves. They use that rod and that staff to beat away those bears and those wolves. Well, He's doing that for you. You need to do that for others. What do we protect people from? As we're making disciples, how do we protect people? Well, protect people from false teaching. Protect people. We need to help people be protected from the world and their flesh. That's one of their worst enemies is their own flesh. And mine too, and yours too. But helping others, protecting others, need to help protect them from the world, the flesh, the devil, the enemies, the lies. We need to expose the lies. I was with somebody not too long ago, and the Lord opened their eyes to a great lie that was exposed. And so there was freedom. The Lord exposed those lies. We need to protect each other. And you'll talk to people and you'll find out as you ask people, well, hey, if you died today and you stood before Jesus and He said, why should I let you into my kingdom? What do you think you'd tell Him? Well, I heard somebody not too long ago just say, well, to be a decent person. You got to be a decent person. You got to be good enough. You may hear that. Well, what's our job? You've been cared for. You care. What's your job? Protect them from those lies. Share the truth with them. Get you some of these and take them to the truth and say, oh, look at this. Hold on. You want to see what the Bible says about it? You want to see how the Bible answers that question? Let's look at this. Protect them from those lies. The world, the devil, their own flesh will tell them. Essie and Anna, I shared with y'all, came to my door, Jehovah's Witnesses. Essie told me, this was last week, she told me, well, you know, I used to be in darkness. And I was in the Christian church, and I was in Christian church, I was in total darkness. I didn't understand the Word of God, I didn't understand any of that. And I was 17 years old, Jehovah's Witness came to my door and taught me God's Word so I could understand it. And so now I teach, now I'm teaching. And she was there to teach me. And I was just there pointing her to the light. Mentioning, hey, you said you were in darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You said you were looking for truth. She had mentioned truth. I said, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way and the truth. And she mentioned she was talking about looking for life. She was telling me, hey, you know, you're looking for life. Everybody's looking for life, right? I said, Jesus said, I am the life. It's all Jesus. We've got to protect people from the lies. Help them to find the truth. And finally, provide for people. Give them what they need. Feed them. You feed yourself. We feed ourselves. And we need to do that first. You need to make sure you're healthy. Are you got a good spiritual diet? You got a good scriptural diet? You feeding yourself? Are you in the Word of God? Are you spending time with the Lord in prayer and talking to Him? And are you growing as His disciple? Are you coming to meetings like this? And great, great. Well, and then you're going to have an overflow. So you need to help others. You need to provide for others. Witness. That's somebody who tells what they've seen and heard. Go and tell others what the Lord is doing in your life. Last Sunday night, Chris, Peggy, Mary Louise, and Evelyn all shared, here's some things that the Lord's doing in my life that I've just seen the Lord do. Just built us all up. Grew us all in the Lord. Right after that service. They're providing for others. That's what they're doing. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you're our good shepherd, that you have cared for us and continue to care for us, that you guide us, you protect us, you provide for us. And so, Lord, let us enjoy it. Let us grow in you. Let us be plugged into you and nourish us. And then, Lord, help us to extend that. Help us to guide others to you and your truth and discipleship. Help us to protect others from the world, their flesh, the devil. Help us to provide for others and share what you're doing in our lives and feed them what we're getting, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray right now that if there's somebody who doesn't know you as their shepherd, that right now, as Chris leads us in this song, Lord, that they would hear your voice, that they would respond to you. Lord, if there's somebody that doesn't know you as their shepherd yet, would you help them right now to call on you and to say, Jesus, I know I need you. I need you as my shepherd. I know I am destined for death and hell because of my sins. But I believe that you died for my sins, that you took my punishment. I believe that you're raised from the dead, and I call on you right now. Jesus, be my shepherd. Save me from my sins. Have mercy on me. Come into my life. And Father, maybe there's others that you are guiding as their shepherd. And Lord, if you are guiding them here to plug into this place, if you are providing a church home for them as their good shepherd, if that is what you are doing, Lord, please speak that to them. Make it clear to them. And Lord, if one of those decisions need to be made, Lord, help people to give them courage. Lord, if it is your will, Lord, may they just stand for you. If you've become their shepherd, may they stand for you and come and walk and share that with me and with us as Chris leads us in this song. Or if you are leading them to this place, may they stand and come as Chris leads us in this song. And Lord, for all of us, help us. Thank you for caring for us. Help us to care for others. We pray it all in your name, Jesus. Amen. You do whatever the Lord tells you.